There are creatures in the animal world that exemplify both good and bad parental skills. For example, the European cuckoo mother bird lays her eggs in another bird's nest and completely abandons them to enjoy life as a single mom, as a single bird. If you apply it to human mom, it's like terrible, like letting other mother takes care of her children. While most women would be furious if their husband cheated on them, the female house sparrow seeks out the nest of other females that mated with her partner and kills the resulting chicks. This way, her baby's daddy will spend his time fathering her own youngsters. Imagine that. Seeking all the nest of her rivals, the nest, and then when he finds the chicks, they're killed. Every single one of them. Go to another rival and kill all the chicks. But the male sand grouse would fly hundreds of kilometers to a water hole and soaks up water in his feathers and then fly back to his thirsty chicks to give them a drink. Imagine 100 kilometers flying just to get water, not using a bucket or a cup, but just to soak his feather and then comes back to his nest, and then by the time he reached his nest, what happened? He's almost dry, right? But that's sacrifice. That's good parental skills. Unlike the cuckoo and the sand grouse, or the house sparrow. The female kangaroo is another example of a good and loving parent. It carries the joey, or the baby kangaroo, for up to 9 months in her pouch. A joey weighing 10 kilos seems light when there is danger, as the mother kangaroo would jump as far as 16 feet in a single jump just to escape danger. But if you replace the joey with a 5-kilo rock, the mother kangaroo would have a hard time jumping. Can you imagine that? Just to protect her baby. God expects man to be a better parent than the kangaroo and sand grouse combined. This expectation is based on the fact that God gave us intellect, emotion, will, and we are created in his image. God cares for families that in the Bible he provides example of good and bad parents and even instructions about God honoring parents. Take note of this. God honoring parents are God fearing parents. Do you agree with me? As I study this message, it reminds me of the truth that honor and fear go hand in hand. Honor and fear go hand in hand. Malachi chapter 1, verse 6a. Let me read. A son honors his father, and as a servant, his master. If then I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my fear? Although this was given to the priest, the corrupt priest during the Old Testament time. But the point here is, if I am your father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my fear? So honor and fear go hand in hand. What is fear? Oxford Living Dictionary defined fear as an unpleasant emotion caused by the threat of danger, pain, or harm. That's the definition of fear. And according to American Psychological Association in 2015, their article, there were 44.5% of all Americans, 44, take note, almost 50%, above 12 years old, took at least tranquilizer, sedative, and stimulant. Those are psychotherapeutic medication. Almost half of the Americans took tranquilizers and sedative. Fear, unpleasant emotion caused by threat or danger. I would like to give a story. There was a man, he went to a psychiatrist and told him about his problem. He said to the doctor, every time I go to bed, I think there's somebody under it. Somebody under his bed. I'm scared and I think I'm going crazy. The psychiatrist replied, okay, come talk to me three times a week for one year, and we will be able to get rid of those fears. So how much do you charge? The doctor replied, $80 per visit, 3 times a week for 1 year. He said, okay, I'll think about it, and if I need it, I will come back to you. But he did come back. 6 months later, the psychiatrist met the man on the street. He asked him, why didn't you come to see me about those fears you were having? The man replied, well, $80 per visit 3 times a week for a year is a lot of money. A carpenter cured me for $10 only. Carpenter. I was so happy to have saved all that money. Now I was able to buy a new SUV. The doctor said, oh, really? But how did the carpenter cure you? The man replied, he told me to cut the legs off the bed. And because of that, I'm sure that there's nobody under there, not now. Simple, right? Fear. False fears. You know what? The word fear in Greek, the word is phobos. Phobos, where we get the word phobia. Wikipedia defined phobia as persistent and excessive fear of a situation or thing that can cause avoidance and panic. And a lot of people experience this, have this kind of problem. Phobia. Hundreds or probably thousands of phobias recorded. There are common, there are strange, unique phobias. Very common phobia, I think everybody knows this. Fear of water. Oh, see, hydrophobia, that's very common. That is the alibi of those who don't want to take a bath. I'm hydrophobic. Fear of heights. Fear of heights. Acrophobia. How about fear of confined spaces and crowded places? Claustrophobia. Common phobias. But there are also unique phobias that we thought never exist. Like chromatophobia. You know what's chromatophobia? Fear of money. Yeah. Anybody who has a chromatophobia? I never thought this phobia exists. Because what I hear is chromatomania. Even the scripture warns us not to love money because that's the root of all evil. How about cetophobia? Have you heard of this? Cetophobia? Fear of food or eating. That's the easiest way to lose weight. Cetophobia. But there are also spiritual phobias. Ecclesiophobia. From the word ecclesia or iglesia. Fear of church. Homilophobia. Homiletics. Fear of sermons. I hope you will not develop this kind of phobia. And I hope those who suffer from this, brethren who didn't come to church, don't have this one. There's also what we call tithophobia. Sounds familiar. Fear of tithing, right? You will know who are they. When we start passing the offering bags, they will start to stand up and pretend that they forgot something in the car or call somebody. Tithophobia. The last but not the least, theophobia. Theophobia. Fear of God. But I would like us to know that fear, the fear that we will study this morning is not about theophobia. Fear the Lord. We read the passages. Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. This is not theophobia. We will study passages and verses that mentions about fearing the Lord. Now, what is the fear of God means? Is it servile or filial? You remember this when Pastor Sunny gave a series of sermon in Ecclesiastes? Servile fear, that means the fear of getting in trouble, means we consider God as executioner, a judge, a punisher. That's servile fear. But fear of the Lord that we will study this morning is about filial fear. Filial, meaning a deep-seated reverence, respect that God causes someone to want to please and honor him. The fear of offending someone whom he loves. That's the fear. Deep-seated reverence. Not scared, but morally revered the Father. Psalm 112 and Psalm 128 are God's description of the kind of life that God offers to those who practice fearing the Lord. In fact, in verse 2, the word there is blessed. Blessed or happy is the man who fears the Lord. Oswald Chambers quoted, "The remarkable thing about fearing God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else. Whereas if you do not fear God, you fear everything else. So fear God, and you fear nothing. God is interested in every area of your life, whether it's social, financial, emotional, physical, and most of all spiritual, that he desires to bless us if we live a life of fearing him. And take note, it's not a request. Fearing the Lord is not a request from God, but a command. Fear God, obey his commandments, for that is the whole duty of mankind. But it's your choice or decision to make. Take a step. Resolve to fear the Lord because there are bountiful, I would say bountiful blessings that accompany it, that accompany fearing the Lord. I will share to you three blessings that was promised in fearing the Lord, starting in verse 2. Psalm 112, verse 2. The offspring will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. I see here the first blessing. Descendants will be blessed. Descendants, your descendants will be blessed. And it is the promise from the word of God if you fear him. Do you want to have kids or grandkids blessed by the Lord? Amen. Not only the first generation, but up to the next generations. Do you desire to have a strong family? You cannot have by simply coming here in church, by being involved in ministry, but by being a parent devoted enough to teach your children as early as possible to fear the living God. Not to get afraid of him, but, as I've said, to revere him, to honor him and love him by shunning evil that might destroy their lives and their potentials. Have courage, persistence, and be an example to teach them the fear of the Lord. And what will happen? They will grow mighty in the land. Verse 2, his offspring will be mighty in the land. What does it mean? They will become valiant, courageous for truth, influential. I remember the passage in Matthew chapter 5. They will become the salt of the earth and the light of the world. They will have influence. Psalm 128, verse 3b to verse 4. Says here, your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. Olive tree is a basic part of agriculture in Israel during their time. In the Bible, it is a picture of productivity and blessing. The olive tree is a slow-growing tree. It can take 10 to 15 years before it bears any fruit. But once established, the olive tree needs little maintenance or supervision. And it will produce fruit for decades to come. It's the same way with your children. It will take some time before they grow to independence and maturity. And as parents, we need to be patient with our children as we raise them in the training and instruction of the Lord. But all our discipline and training will pay off someday. Do you agree with me? It will pay off. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. In the way he should go. He doesn't mention here that in the way they want to go. In the way he should go, that in the way that God wants them to go. And it's your responsibility. Train up. It's you. It's us, parents. In the way they should go. So that when they get old, they will not depart from it. Proverbs 14, verse 26. In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence. It's you. And his children will have repute. Imagine that. It's you who fear the Lord, but the effect and the blessings will be passed on. The promise to your descendants is there. When trouble and problem come, they were able to stand firm because they have somebody, they have the anchor, they have a refuge to cling to. While some people resolve to what? Committing unnecessary things, to suicide, drugs. But those who fear the Lord, God will bless them, and you will have that confidence, and your children will have refuge. You see the blessings there if you fear the Lord? It will be passed on to your descendants. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 27. The fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be short. It's for them and for those who fear the Lord. Anyone. So the first blessing here is descendants will be blessed. And the second one, Psalm 112, verse 3. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. The second is domestic provision. Not only descendants will be blessed, but there's domestic provision. It was mentioned here, wealth and riches are in your house. What does it mean? To have part-times, overtimes, and sideline is not a guarantee that you will become rich. It's not bad, but if you think that those are the means that you have, that wealth and riches, it's not a guarantee. But here, this is a promise from the Word of God. But how are we going to balance this? Does it mean that we will drive Ferraris and Lamborghinis and live in a mansion and go to Europe like Queer Rob? Does it like that? How are we going to balance this? Wealth and riches are in your house. Psalm 34, 9 to 10. I think this one will help us in the other verses that we will quote. Psalm 34, 9 to 10. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. This is the key. Have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. You get the point there? When he mentions wealth and riches, the young lions, they're strong, fast, and furious predators. But sometimes they suffer want and hunger. But you who fear the Lord, you will lack no good thing. You shall not want any good thing because God will provide. Amen. He doesn't promise luxury thing, luxurious living, but wealth and riches. Psalm 115, verse 5. Again, it says here, he provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. You get the point? God will provide your needs, basic needs. Probably not your wants, but what you need and those things that are good. You will lack no good thing. You get the point? Don't you know that if you have a good health, wealth, I mean, health is wealth. How much money will you spend in the hospital if you have this kind of cancer or any expensive disease? You know, it costs you a lot. Riches, I notice here that riches and righteousness, there's a connection in it. Wealth, in verse 3, wealth and riches are in his house. And then it says here, and his righteousness endures forever. Whose righteousness? Is that your righteousness? Wealth and riches are in your house. That's yours. But wealth and his righteousness endures forever. Whose righteousness that endures forever? God's righteousness. I see here the connection between riches and righteousness. The provision from God, I remember the passage in the New Testament. Provision from God in seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. What passage is that? Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. What does it say? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I would say, and all these things will be added to you. Not some, but all. But what's the first responsibility? It's a cause and effect. You need to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And here in Psalm 112, it says, wealth and riches are in your house, and his righteousness endures forever. You will lack no good thing. The young lions may suffer hunger, but never will you experience if you fear the Lord. Amen for that. All these things will be added to you. What is that, like career or your study or your future, your investments or whatever things. All these things, health. Say, for example, I give you 7 numbers. 6 zeros and 1 1. If we consider zeros as our health or savings or our future or our business, our study, those are zeros in life. 0, 0, 0, 0. I give you 6 of that. And 1 represents Jesus Christ or God. How are you going to arrange it to have the maximum benefit from it, or maximum number? Are you going to put 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 1? You will have only 1. If you put 0, 0, 0, 0, 1, 0, you have 10. But if you put 1 first and put those 6 zeros behind, you have 1 million, the maximum what you can get. 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, whatever these things that you are thinking right now, it will be given to you. And that's not my promise. That's the promise from the New Testament, and the promise even in the Old Testament, a lot of verses. Psalm 112, Psalm 128, Psalm 37, verse 4, and there's a lot we'll mention. All those verses here that mentions about fearing the Lord and the benefit of fearing God. Psalm 84, verse 11b. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Fear the Lord and upright is interchanging. If you notice in the starting verse in Psalm 112, upright or righteous and fear the Lord, it's interchanging. So he says here, no good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly, to those who fear the Lord. No good thing. How many times we hear this? No good thing shall we withhold. God will provide as long as it has no corrupting result to you. Something may look good for you, but if God sees that it's not good, then he won't give it. He says a good thing. Another promise here is that God will bless your work. It's part of the mystic provision. God will bless your work. Psalm 128, verse 2. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. What does this mean? This means you will find fulfillment in your work, and that your work will provide for your needs. Too often in life, we work hard, but we still don't seem to be getting anywhere. Work, 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 but we don't have satisfaction. We're not getting anywhere. The prophet Haggai in the Old Testament warned the Jews who returned to Jerusalem in Haggai chapter 1, 5 to 6. Listen to this. I hope you can relate with this. Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them into a bag with holes. Oh no. You work and work and work, and you're not getting anywhere. Huh? No satisfaction. You always don't know. You don't have. The Jews were working during the time. The Jews were working so hard, but they're not getting anywhere. That's the opposite of the blessing God offers to those who fear him and walk in his ways. God wants you to enjoy the fruit of your work, and that was his plan from the very beginning. Genesis chapter 2, that is before the fall. The fall of Adam and Eve. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. So there's work before the fall. Before in Adam sinned, they already worked they work in the garden and knew God's blessings on their work. It was good work with good rewards. But without God, work becomes what? Toil. You will not find true blessing or satisfaction in your work apart from him. Ecclesiastes will confirm this. Ecclesiastes 2, 24 to 25. There is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God, for apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? I hope these verses will remind us the importance of fearing God. Fear the Lord. What's the first blessing? Descendants will be blessed. Second, domestic provision. God will provide what you need. Good thing. Your work will be blessed. God will bless it. You will have satisfaction. You will find enjoyment with him. But if you toil for yourself because you're afraid of the future, but you're not thinking about him, not fearing him, I guarantee you, you will live miserable. Fear God. The last but not the least. In verses 4 to 7, but let's start in verse 4. The promise here, it drives away all fear. If you fear God, it drives away all fear. Whatever fear, whatever kind of fear you will experience, it drives away. Verse 4, light dawns in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious, merciful, and righteous. Why? Because of the hope that we have. The word there, light dawns in darkness, talks about hope. for the upright. He is gracious, merciful, and righteous. As again, I said, upright, who are they? Those who fear the Lord. God protects his people in difficulty. We are not exempted. It's not a guarantee that we are exempted from darkness or problems or heartaches in life. But it says here, light dawns in the darkness. You will experience darkness, but light dawns. There's hope in the midst of that great, thick, almost impenetrable darkness. You and I can walk with confidence because we see light around us. There's hope. Hope that we have. Job 11, 17, 18. And your life will be brighter than the noonday. Its darkness will be like the morning, and you will feel secure because there is hope. You will look around and take your rest in security. You see there? Because there is hope, your life will be brighter than the noonday, and its darkness will be like morning. There's a group of graduate students. They did a bizarre or unusual experiment. They took rodents, and put them in a tank of water and placed the tank in a totally dark room. They went into the room and monitored them with video equipment. The rats swam for almost 6 hours before giving up and drowning. 6 hours in total darkness. And then they died. The students then took another set of rats and put them in a tank of water and placed that tank in a room where there was a small hole in the wall for the light to penetrate. There's just a small hole. Their hypothesis was that light would give rats hope and they would survive longer. As it turns out, the rats swam almost 17 hours. Much longer than the rats in total darkness. Something about the light enabled them to survive longer. 17 hours versus 6 hours. It gives them hope. Now, if hope holds such power for unthinking rodents, how much greater should its effect be on your lives, in our lives? Hope. I remember the song, Because He Lives, of Bill Gaither, the Gaither vocal band. You're familiar with that song? You want me to sing that song? No. It says there in the chorus, Because He Lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He Lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future and life is worth the living just because He lives. Amen. You see that? Because God lives, He holds the future, He is in control. All fear is gone. If you fear the Lord, it drives away all fears. Not only it drives away all fear because of the hope that we have, but because of the wisdom He gave. There's wisdom. Psalm 112, verse 5. Who conducts his affairs with justice. It is well with the man who deals generously and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice. And in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. It's the beginning of wisdom. You will conduct your affair with justice, with knowledge. And then another verse in Psalm 33, verse 18. I like this. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope in His steadfast love. Imagine that the eye of the Lord is watching you. Behold, God is watching us from a... That's a song. God is watching us from a distance. But it's true. Do you know the reason why these people are able to make wise decisions in life? Based on that verse. Why? It's because the omniscient eye of the powerful God is upon them. God is watching you. God is guiding you. Psalm 32, verse 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Please, pass that verse. It's here. Again, it's confirmed here that the eye of the Lord will instruct and guide us. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. In Psalm 33:18, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him. Wow. His eye is ever upon them, while their eyes is upon him, or upon him. God will not allow them to be thrown off direction. He will protect every effort and decision. Everything that is going on in their lives, God knows it. Why? Because he is all-seeing eye, omniscient eye is upon them, watching them. Maybe it's hard for us to believe, really, God sees us? God is watching me? But you know what? Those of you who travel and use GPS, you have confidence. Whether you go to U.S., whatever place in Canada, what, as long as you have that confidence, as long as you have that GPS, you have that call, don't worry. I will arrive on that place. Right? You put your confidence to that thing, technology, that energy, the waves, and you have your trust that if you go off direction, it will recalculate, make you turn, go the other way, right? Oh, don't worry. What are you doing? You go exit. No, don't worry. We will go back. It will recalculate because the satellite is watching us, right? If you are in a highway and there's a very complicated road, it gives you lane assist. Go here, this lane, right two lanes. If it will give you traffic updates. Shortest distance, fastest road. If you are hungry, go with, bring me to the nearest restaurant. On road. Gas station. You have that confidence. Even if you walk, it will give you direction that you are 300 meters away from Glencorn Station. Imagine that. The technology. I hope this will give us more confidence in the power of the eye of the living, omniscient God. Amen? Amen? Believe it now. It's hard for us to believe, but the technology, science, will help the Bible. You know, science explains the Bible. Not all, anyway, evolution and thing. It will help us, you know, satellites and GPS. You know what? God is the creator of those waves and energy. If that will guide us in our geographical destination, the eye of God will help us in our spiritual direction. The eye of the Lord is upon them who fear him. Even in Psalm 37, verse 23, the steps of a good man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighted in his way. Though he fall, what's next? He will not be. Okay, I will cast down. So, it drives away all fears because of the hope that we have. Second, because of the wisdom that he gave. And the last, because of the trust in the Lord. Because of our trust in the Lord. Psalm 112, verse 6 to 7. for the righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. You see, he will never be moved. Whatever bad news you hear, you know, fear God makes us walk in faith. It will make us courageous. It will make us brave. No news is bad if you fear God. Amen? Why? Because before we hear the news, the bad news, somebody heard it already. And he will make preparation for you, so that you will be able to stand firm and become strong. He will protect the child of God. Give you this passage. It's Isaiah 26, verse 3. One of my favorite verses. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Can you imagine that? If you trust the Lord, God will give you not only peace, but perfect peace. Where can you find perfect peace? In tranquilizers? Somebody? Even your friend, even your family cannot give. They can give you comfort, encouragement, but the peace and the perfect peace only comes from the Lord. The peace of God and the God of peace will give you that confidence in times of trouble. God's blessing is available to everyone. You can choose to either welcome God's blessings in your life or you can waste it away. It's up to you. But the promise there, God will give it, the blessings to those who fear the Lord and those who walk in his ways. When you long for the same things God longs for, you will see your desires fulfilled. This verse I'll give you. Psalm 145, verse 19. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. You see that? He will fulfill your desire. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Fear the Lord. Take a step. There was a U.S. TV game show entitled Let's Make a Deal. I don't know if you remember this. I was not born during this time. So just read this one. That was 70s. They said, I read this one. Let's make a deal. The would-be contestants in the studio would dress up and act like squirrels, ducks, trees, and various household appliances just to get the attention of the show's host named Monty Hall. So they will attack trees and chicken. So if the host will get attracted to somebody, then they will call someone. And one of the shows, Hall pointed to a housewife dressed as a chicken and said, "Chicken, come on down." Then he pointed out to her three large doors on the stage, telling her that she can have whatever behind the door that she will choose. There's three doors there to choose. The audience was shouting to her their suggestion. Finally, she chose door number three. So there's three doors. People are shouting, door number one, door number one, door number two. But she chose door number three, the chicken, the woman who attired as chicken. So before Monty Hall showed her what was behind door number three, he opened first door number one. Behind the door stood a pair of Mercedes-Benz luxury automobiles, too. Wails of sorrow rose from the chicken lady and from the audience. Oh. Door number one, two Mercedes-Benz. Then Hall opened door number two. A voice cried out, a 50-foot sailboat and an all-expense-paid vacation, a famous vacation spot. Wow, there's a 50-foot sailboat. So more cries of disappointment. Then Monty Hall opened door number three, and it revealed a donkey. A donkey. The chicken lady threw up her hands up in despair as the audience reacted. It was a tragic choice. Tragic. The lady's choice was tragic. Yeah. But do you know what would be more tragic? If after Monty Hall has told her what is behind each door, and then encouraged her to choose door number one or door number two. That's more tragic, right? He showed this one, this is what's inside. And still she chose door number three. That's more tragic. Miserable choice. Brethren, God in his love has given us the privilege of making a choice. He showed us already. He made a promise. Gave us the privilege of making a choice right now, and blessing will depend on what we will choose. Your decision will determine your destiny. I hope it will not be a tragic destiny, but instead a blessed destiny, because you fear the living God. Fear the Lord, and your descendants will be blessed. There's the mystic provision, and last but not the least, it drives away all fear. Amen. Let's bow our heads.